Welcome to another episode of First Up. I'm your host, Brian White. And for this episode, I am joined by Kayla Jones, social behavior counselor. We discuss her work in social work from Chicago to Dallas, as well as fighting against social barriers for students. Welcome to another episode of First Up. Today, we have Kayla Jones joining us. She is a former ISAC Corps member. She served from 2017 until 2019. And that was also during the time that I was in the Corps as well. So I know Kayla for a couple of years now. So nice to have you on, Kayla.
Thank you. Thank you. So happy to be here. And so happy to connect with you, Brian, again.
Yes. How are you today?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
I'm good. Do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners?
Yes, of course. My name is Kayla Jones. I'm an LMSW, and I think in a Corps 2017.
Can you tell us where you're from and where did you attend high school and college at?
Yeah, so I am from the south side of Chicago. I went to Lindblom High School. And then after I left Lindblom, I went to Northern Illinois University, NIU, for my undergrad. And then for grad school, I went to UIC, University of Illinois at Chicago, to pursue my MSW program, Jane Addams College of Social Work.
And then thinking about your time going from high school to college, who supported you through that time?
Ooh, that's a really good question. During high school, I was really grateful for the people that we had at my high school. So they were really big on like pushing us towards some type of post-secondary experience. So I was able to work with the counselors there to help me like figure out what college I was going to go to. And then I'm also, of course, thankful to my parents that have paved the way and helped supported me through making the best decision post-high school.
Okay. And are you a first-generation college student?
No, I am not a first-generation college student, but it is interesting because I was thinking about this question. On my dad's side, I'm actually the first person to go to college, but my mom pursued higher education after I was born. She went back to school.
And then can you tell me a little bit more about what you do now?
Yeah, so I've been living in Chicago for forever. And so I want to say like after undergrad, I was like, I want to go somewhere different. Like I want to explore and see what the world looks like outside of Illinois. So I recently, well, it's been 3 years. I moved to Dallas, Texas. So that's where I'm at right now. And out here, my title is a social behavior counselor, which is similar to basically like a school social worker. So I work in a high school out here, a charter school specifically.
And then coming from Chicago and CPS, maybe, do you see similar barriers from Chicago to Texas? Anything like mental health, students coming from low income families, lack of resources, lack of support, anything like that for students?
That's a really good question. So from the time I went to ISAC, I know you all are familiar with how the Corps works of going to different schools. So I worked at a lot of different schools, specifically on the west side of Chicago. And then there were a couple of schools that I was tied to on the south side. The interesting part about it is a lot of the similarities or a lot of the concerns that we face in Chicago are a lot of the concerns here. We talk about like the barrier between high school to college, trying to figure out post-secondary, navigating the different challenges at home. Even where my school is located, it's a food desert, a lack of resources. And so a lot of those challenges and fights that we were fighting in Chicago are very similar to the work that I'm doing out here in Dallas.
And then for our listeners, can you just explain what a food desert is for those that might not know?
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know what? I don't even know the specific qualifications, but I do know we consider a food desert where there's no like grocery short store in the immediate area. So I have to look up what the mileage is. But there's so many different, of course, fast food restaurants that you can walk to or that you have access to, but no places to receive fresh fruit and vegetables.
Okay. And then do you happen to know the demographics of the area that you work in?
Yeah. So the school, so we are charter school. So again, with charter school, it's not like public school where if I live in this neighborhood, I could just go to the school. Charter school is very school of choice. So how our charter school specifically works is that you have to apply to get in. I wouldn't say there's necessarily like criteria to say, well, choose this student over this student, but you do have to apply. I know with my specific school, it is predominantly Black and Hispanic. Within our charter school network, my school has the highest demographic of Black students. And I don't want to butcher the statistics, but I know around like 90% are like free and reduced lunch. So similar demographics to the populations that I was working with in Chicago on the West Side.
And that's the reason I asked that, because we hear that a lot of those communities are the ones that don't have the resources that most of the time. Mm-hmm. And there's a sense of oppression in that sense and barriers, structures put in place for that. Mm-hmm. So we try to fight against those. But without getting too much into the personal details of your students, can you tell us some of the things that you hear when meeting with students?
Yeah, so working in a high school, you never know what today is going to bring. Every day is something new. I think that was honestly why I chose school social work. I was like, oh, I like that. But we have been focusing a lot on the data. So we're trying to be more data driven to make sure that the work that we're doing is effective and that we're really reaching the community and the students, the families. I would say a lot of the concerns at our school are around emotional regulation. So I had a hard day, like, how do I get back to the flow of things? Or there was some challenges going on at home, like mom or dad or whoever, grandma is going through all of these things. And now I'm like having to carry that and come to school. Like, how do I focus on my schoolwork when I have all that going on? Or I'm anxious and worried about the future or what's going on or what's going to happen tomorrow. I would say that those are the biggest concerns that I see.
And then how do you aid students when they are going through those emotional kind of stressors and barriers?
Yeah, the biggest thing I had to learn is like just meeting students where they are. Like, I know we are in the demographic. I know the population. I know what the statistics say, but really understanding that student as an individual, because everybody looks different and the services or support that they need looks different too. There are sometimes where I will literally have two students that I meet with and they might be facing the same thing, but what they need to support them looks different. Some students might just want to come and have a place to talk and have a safe space, while other students are very driven on, like, how do I find those coping skills? What is next? What do I need to do? Like, I like to exercise. How can I create this or build this to help me relieve this anxiety or stress that I'm facing?
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned to meet students where they are. In our previous episode, we spoke to a therapist, and mm-hmm. she had those same sentiments that meeting people where they are is important, and things might look different, especially in terms of healing and moving up. So I really love that you mentioned that.
Yeah. One of the things that I learned in the social work program is a strengths-based approach. And so instead of looking at somebody and saying, like, wow, they got a lot going on, like, they're living in this community, they're in a food desert, they don't have this, they don't have that, let's focus on the strengths. Like, what are they doing well? How are they being resilient through these situations? What do they lean in? What do they tap in? Oh, wow, this person is really serious about education and they're doing really well. They're going to be the first person in their family to go to high school, or they really know how to be a helping hand to their family members or friends. So really focusing on what's going well instead of the deficits, per se.
I love that. And just speaking on that, I know that you mentioned how you help students in particular. Is there like something that the teachers are also doing with students? Because sometimes we hear things like stereotype threat, which is when you're at risk of just someone's confirming a self-characteristic, and that's usually a negative stereotype about that student. Mm-hmm. So to kind of combat that, do you work with the teachers to help them understand how not to say things to students or how not to talk about just the deficits of students?
Yeah, this is really right on time. What I'm really grateful for my school district or what they do a lot of different like equity models. So like right now we're going through like an equity module series where they are working to figure out how do we tap in, how do we provide this education and support to teachers. And so one thing that they provided to all of us and in a training, it talked about like calling in and calling out. And I thought that was really good. So really calling in to people when they are saying things that might come off as bias, or they're labeling a group, or they're making assumptions. So calling in to them, you know, pulling them aside and having that conversation and saying, hey, I heard that you refer to these students as this, like, where does that come from? Why are you using this type of language? And also like calling out, which can sound a little scary, but really calling out people and saying, hey, this is not really appropriate, or this is not the way we should navigate those situations. So we have the equity module series that we're all doing. And then we're trying to focus a lot on like social emotional learning. So there's like little different curriculums that we do in the classroom. And so there's some guided towards the students. And then also there's work that we do guided towards teachers and staff.
That's great. And I mentioned that too, because I was just thinking about my time in college. And I had one professor who told me that I should not be in this class. I was falling asleep. But him not knowing that I was a part of the basketball team, I was working a job part time. I was working on campus part time, mm-hmm. still a full time student. So him not understanding that was making me feel bad for being in school or being in that class. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that you have that going on and the teachers are involved in that process.
Yeah, it's definitely not a perfect process, but it is important because if there was somebody else in the room, how can they call it out and say something? Because we're not going to always be the ones, like you said, your professor saying that to you. You're not going to be the only person that should have to say that's really inappropriate, or why would you label, or what do you mean by I shouldn't be in this class? You need to have other people that are there to advocate for you. And so I'm really excited and looking forward to just the work that they're doing around that.
Same here. And we're just happy that you're doing the good work too.
I'm trying.
Always. We're proud of you from even your time at ISAC. So still proud of you. But I know you also mentioned this a little bit, but how can we build those open spaces and lift those students up who may need those additional resources or supports?
I'm really like trying to put my head around it, because that's a really great question, because I know as a counselor, we have like our office, like this is like our sacred safe space of the school. Mm-hmm. But there also should be other spaces that's not just the counselor's office.
Yeah,
there has to be other things going on. I know something that we have is like a student support specialist. So he does this community circle. And so that's a time where students can get together and have conversations about different topics on campus. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like academic related, but maybe what's going on in the community, what's going on with you. And it's a really good space where students are able to get together and have those conversations about how they feel, about what they need. I think it's important to have the space for focus groups. So I know that they do a scholar engagement survey that they give out to all students. So all students are able to say, how do they feel about their teachers? Do they feel like they're in an environment where people are supporting them? Are they being supported by other students? But just even taking a step further in doing focus groups or having small groups to allow students to voice their opinions and make real changes in the school is super, super important.
I agree. And then I know we mentioned it too, but I feel like it's just imperative that we continue to find those students who need that support.
Yeah.
And even the ones that are afraid to ask for it, it's important to meet them where they're at and provide them with the necessary tools to get where they want to go. So I want to thank you for doing that work, for continuing your work from your days at ISAC and moving on to what you're doing now. Mm-hmm. It all matters, all the students. And I feel like as long as we can reach as many students as we can and keep trying, that's the best that we can do.
Yeah.
Those students are our future, and I think that we need to keep pushing them forward.
Yes, and you're doing the work too. It doesn't have to always be in the counseling perspective. Like, you're doing the work as far as ISAC, and ISAC is just incredible how they are just showing up and supporting students on all different levels. I remember in ISAC, we weren't even just working in schools. We were working in other institutions. We were working
community-based organizations.
Yeah. They want to work everywhere. So you and ISAC, y'all are just amazing.
Before we go, is there anything that you want to say to our listeners? Any advice you want to give to any students that are listening?
The advice that I would give, I would just really reiterate the importance of getting help and seeking out resources. There was a lot of challenges that I had to face and a lot of like things I had to navigate in life. And I didn't always know the right answer. I didn't really know where to turn, but I knew how to get help. I knew how to find the right people. And that might take some time. You might find somebody and you're like, this person is not helpful. So find somebody else. So that's my biggest thing, regardless of what it's about. If it's about mental health, even navigating like college, needing money, navigating adulthood, find people that will be able to support you. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah, and definitely find people that you feel safe with.
Yes.
Because that's going to be important for your mental health going forward and just through life. Are there any organizations that you work with to help students as well?
So yes, I work with Step Up, and they are an organization that does a lot of work with girls, I think ranging from like about 14 all the way up to 27. So they provide mentorship. I specifically do a Step Up girls group on campus. So I have girls 9th through 12th grade or anybody who identifies with girlhood, and we meet and go through different activities, programs around careers, mental health, post-secondary. And so just getting them prepared for the real world. So it's a really great organization and they do a lot of great work.
Are there any resources that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, a really great resource that if you haven't heard about, we talk about a lot at school is the Suicide Crisis Line. And so I love that they have condensed their numbers, just the amount of numbers, so to 988. So it's really simple to remember. And you are able to like call them or text them. One of the great things about the Suicide Crisis Line is that they can provide you with free resources as well. So maybe you're calling and you're just in a difficult place and space and you really don't know where to start, or you're looking for a therapist or counselor, that would be a great place to start and reach out to.
Yeah, we've heard about that from a previous episode. We had a veteran that came on and he talked about that number as well, and that it's not just used for veterans. It could be used for any type of financial crisis, emergency crisis, life crisis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's one number. Sometimes we become so overwhelmed like, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start. So just being able to have one place to call, and even if you're in the wrong space, they'll be able to guide you or provide you with the resources you need is really helpful.
Where can people reach you if they want to reach out to you?
Yes. Yeah, so you can email me at Kiela@yahoo.com. So it's my first name, Keeayla@yahoo.com. And also, okay, Brian, I'm not into the social medias, but I am really trying to grow and develop Instagram. And so I have an Instagram account. It's Creating Peace. So creating with a K. So Kreating underscore peace. And that's where I really want to talk about a lot of my journey working in the schools, journey coping with different things, mental health, all things related. So that's the best place to find me, creating underscore peace.
Thank you for that. Well, Kiela, I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
Of course. We hope you have a good day.
You too.
We would like to thank our guest, Kiela Jones, for joining us today. We would like to thank ISAC for supporting us, the First Generation Scholars Network for encouraging us to put this podcast together. Thanks to our producers, Joey Lieberman and Matt Montez. Last but not least, we would like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. We hope you'll join us on our next episode. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not directly reflect the opinions of ISAC. We hope you enjoyed this episode and have a good day, everyone.